Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. So glad to see you again. My name is Clayton Morris. I'm the host of the show. We help you build financial intelligence so you can build financial freedom. One of the most common questions we get here on the show over the years is about credit. Can I get financing with bad credit? Can I start to invest with bad credit? It's always tied around, how will this affect my credit? And a number of years ago, we had Wayne Sanford on the show. He is the credit guy. And I thought, you know what? It is time to bring Wayne back. We've got tons of questions over the years since Wayne first appeared on the show. A lot has changed in the credit space since we had Wayne last on the show. And we figured it was time. Wayne, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Clayton.
Good to have you back. So, I mean, it's been a few years. I mean, you know, and not to like throw you under the bus right away, but holy smokes, what has changed in the credit world in the few years since we spoke? Is it easier now to fix your credit? Is it more difficult now to fix your credit? What new laws on the books that we need to be aware of?
Well, probably one of the most prominent ones that came out was about 2.5 years ago, give or take, and it had primarily to do with medical bills. This is probably one of the first few times that the consumer benefits. And I don't usually say medical bills. We all know how bad the medical industry is as a whole because it's a business. The biggest problems is the billing department is just pathetic at best, with my personal opinion, because obviously I see all the problems. Most of the time, people would have a bill and they wouldn't know about it. They wouldn't be informed about it till all of a sudden something popped up on their credit and their credit score dropped 70 points. And it could have been something as simple as a $52 bill that hurts and kills their credit for any future financial things that they wish to do. The law kicked in about 2 years ago, 2.5 that I said. And what happens is they've got 6 months where it can be put on your credit. The way these systems and hospitals and medical facilities operate is it's going to take 4 months of non-payment for it to be automatically outsourced to a collection company. So there's software with the collection company. At 120 days late, it automatically gets put into their system and they actively start sending a letter contacting the person saying, hey, you owe money. Now, normally at that point, it'd be posted on your credit damaging you. Now, the consumer has literally 60 days to sort of find out what happened with the insurance, why wasn't this paid, and then pay it or get it handled without it damaging their credit. So that was the one really good thing that occurred. Now, of course, the problem at that point is trying to get that whole problem fixed within 60 days.
Right. I was going to say the healthcare. I mean, my God, we've had just little, you know, whether it's the birth of our child or whatever, just small little hospital related knick-knacky things that can take, you know, seems like we're dealing with them for a year.
Mm-hmm. One of the other issues is, and what people need to realize is when you go, let's say, to a hospital or a medical facility, think of that as a conference room. You're paying for the conference room, which means you're going to get a bill from the hospital for that time you're in the room. If a doctor saw you, then you're actually getting a separate bill from the group that represents the doctors. If you have to have x-rays done or something along those lines, you get a separate bill for that. So you can go into the hospital, which I just had major knee surgery about 4 months ago. And obviously I know what to expect. And I got four completely separate bills. Of course, I knew what they were for, but most people, they're going to get it, think, oh, my insurance covered this, and toss it away, which is the biggest problem that blindsides all of us. If you're getting a bill, you need to check into it. I tell everyone, it's not what you say, it's what you can prove. If you don't have any proof that this was a mistake, you're the one hurt, not them. All they're going to do is say, oh, sorry about that. But the bill's still legitimate, so you got to pay it, thus damaging your credit. That's definitely one of the things to discuss.
What about some of the ways that we can fix our credit? Has that changed in the past few years since we've spoken? Is it easier now, more difficult now to try and repair your credit? And then if so, let's walk through some of those steps.
Sure. It always gets more complicated from a standpoint of the Federal Trade Commission, and there's places out there that say there's nothing you can't do yourself that a credit repair company can't do, which is 100% accurate. The issue is knowing what happens afterwards, because the repair process, especially if you're doing this electronically, which I so say no to and don't do that at all, because it's a mirror image system where all they're doing is verifying information. You need to track paper with paper. You have to send letters, track things of that nature. I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that I started coming across probably within the last year and a half, we're getting a lot of good customers that have pretty good credit, 680 plus. They're maybe trying to invest in real estate, buy a house. They're just maxed out on credit cards. I had a gentleman that was about a 740 credit score, made about $104,000 a year, had $33,000 in credit card bills. Well, a little while back, I started looking at it. And if you look at the statements that come into the mail, and most people don't, if you're paying, and let's just use a round number of $500 a month, that could be for one credit card. It could be for a total of three. On average, from an 18% interest rate up to sometimes the 25, 26 plus, it shows if you're making the minimum payments, that account's going to be paid off in 19 years plus.
Jeez.
Which is crazy.
It's like student loan debt. It's crazy. Yeah.
And then I saw Discover Bank. Now, obviously, every bank can be different. Discover is just one I'm picking on. They literally, now the person owed, I want to say like $27,000. So it's not like it was $5,000. But it said, hey, if you continue to pay the minimum payment, it'll be paid off in 45 years. The kicker was, now, not with Discover, just in general, a $500 credit card bill. If you look at the finance charges for that month, that is typically 50%, if not 55% of what you're paying monthly. So you are just in that domino cycle of how do you get out? Well, I started doing a little research. Now that gentleman went to a bank, to his bank, and said, hey, I need to get a debt consolidation loan. And they ran his credit, said, look, your credit's fine, but you're too maxed out. And of course, the next question is, well, yeah, I know. That's kind of why I wanted a debt consolidation loan. I didn't think I had to explain that to you.
Right.
But they said, oh, sorry, you're too maxed out.
So you can't get an additional loan to help your credit on top of the credit debt that you currently have.
Correct. And if you're too maxed out, then traditional banks say no. Well, started doing some research, started working with some people that were actually now working with non-traditional banks and were overlooking that. Standard rules, you've got to have at least a 640 minimum credit score. You have to make at least $40,000 and you got to have good credit. Good income, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that good credit, good income, they just, that domino effect, you don't realize how much you owe until it's too late. And then if you look at those statements, wow, I'm not going to be able, even if you, let's say it says 25 years to pay off, even if you're paying more, what do you cut that down to 12 years? A 12-year payment plan, you know, that's like you said, that's a mini mortgage.
Right.
So this company we found that I started working with actually converts that revolving debt into like an installment account. Think of it like a car loan. So now instead of daily accrued interest, you're getting a monthly interest payment. Now with all companies, why are they doing that? They're going to charge a higher interest rate. But now you have a 3 to 5 year game plan where at the end of the 3 to 5 years, you're debt free. And it has actually worked out really, really well. Again, it's not for everyone. I have to talk to one gentleman today. He was he's a 690 now. He makes $150,000 a year. The problem is he let one credit card slip for several months. They're going to decline him because of that reason. But if any of your listeners are trying to get out of that domino effect, yeah, it's something definitely they may want to talk to me about.
So it's more like an amortized way of paying this back. Am I right?
Yes.
Right.
When it comes to credit cards, you're getting charged daily interest on that credit card, which is why those fees are just ridiculous. With an installment loan, it's amortized into a monthly interest rate, not a daily one. So that helps out. Yeah. And once again, it was a little weird because when those people were coming to me, they're not credit repair clients, but I do more than credit repair. But if I tell everyone everything that I do, it gets a little crazy. So I got to have some sanity to me, but
right.
Finding a segment of people that make good money that just got involved, maybe they had a job loss and they were living off savings or the credit cards for a little while. It's amazing how it becomes such a domino effect. So sorry for blabbering on about that.
No. I mean, hey, look, my audience probably knows I was, $75,000 in credit card debt out of college and then in addition to my student loans. So, I had to claw my way out of that. I had to put a game plan together and go through that process. So I have a lot of empathy for those people that are, suffering from that. Let's talk about some of the strategies. That's one strategy, maybe that kind of loan repayment structure that you just talked about. Are there some other low-hanging fruit that people who are listening right now, they don't have a full awareness of where they are with their credit card debt, but they know they need to claw their way out? What are like three top things that you would encourage them to do right now to start to get out of this debt hole?
Sure. Well, one of the things that you definitely want to do is look at those statements like we just talked about it and get a true assessment as to what their situation is. It is a scary thing when you put pen to paper, because when you write it down, it becomes real.
Yeah, let me just say, I hear you, man. That's a great, great, great point. I hope everyone listening right now is not afraid to do this, because it's so easy to let those bills pile up and not open them because you're too scared. But once you can sit down, I remember I got a ruler out and a piece of white paper, and I drew like a few lines of the credit cards, and I drew columns like June, July, August. And I just started I wrote down the totals and what the interest rate was. And once I put pen to paper, I saw all of the debt and I was able to then build a game plan. So you're absolutely right about that. Hallelujah for saying that.
And that's actually taught in personal development. It's a dream until you put it on paper. And what one of the things you got to realize, and I've had customers that a gentleman from Florida I'm dealing with right now is always an 800 credit score. Business problems. Now he's getting sued and the poor man is freaking out. Well, I told him, listen, here's what you need to understand. If they're suing you, we can still address it. If you got problems, you can still address it. You're still breathing. You're still alive. Your life is not over. Just understand that. That's the first thing that you really need to let someone know. But getting back to, if you put pen to paper, now you see what you're dealing with. And once you see that, once you write it down, other than maybe needing a drink or a massage now, you're still alive. It's okay.
Right.
A lot of times, if you're kind of scraping, what you want to do is, as silly as it may sound, you go after the smaller fruit first. The smaller credit card bills that you have, you go after them first, because what will happen is those will be able to get paid sooner. Then once that's done and out of the way, then you can go after the next one and you start climbing your way up till you're attacking the animal. A lot of people think it's the complete opposite. Go after the big boy and then get the little ones done first. And it's really just the opposite.
And the reason, this is fascinating. My wife and I get in these debates about this because I am with you on that strategy, which is to go after the lowest hanging fruit. Maybe there's one credit card that has $1,000 in debt. And even though the interest rate is the lowest, mathematically, it doesn't make sense. You've got the big boy in the room, the big elephant, that maybe you have $15,000 worth of debt and you've got a higher interest rate. But what I did was exactly what you're saying, was I tackled and went after the low-hanging fruit. And what it does is, mathematically, it might not make sense, but psychologically, it
right.
makes sense. Am I right on that?
Well, you're seeing progress and you're right. seeing realistic progress. If you have, and I've had customers, they got the one big $20,000 credit card and the two or three, and $5,000 one. Well, you can throw as much as you can at the 20. If you get it down to 17 is still mind-blowing. If you focus on those other two small ones, hey, one down, two to go.
Right.
Hey, one down now, we can just tackle the other one. And then at that point, once you get those two smaller ones, then you can attack the big one with all the monthly resources you can allocate towards that.
Today's episode is brought to you by SimpliSafe, my favorite home security system. In fact, I got an alert the other day that someone was entering our house. Turns out it was just the pest control person. But guess what? I was able to see it on the camera. I was able to turn off the alarm. They were able to come in. That's how secure your home is with SimpliSafe. With home security, there's two ways you can go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way where you wait weeks for somebody to come out and put wires behind the wall and cost thousands of dollars. Or there's a better way.
SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is everything you need in a home security system. It's the award-winning protection, two-time winner of CNET's Editor's Choice Award. You know, my wife used to work at CNET, so I trust that, and I absolutely trust their review process. SimpliSafe blankets your whole home in safety. You get comprehensive protection for your entire home. Outdoor cameras, doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry motion and glass break sensors, they guard inside the house. You barely notice it's there. But what's truly remarkable is you can set the system up all by yourself in a matter of minutes. Right out of the box, you launch the SimpliSafe app on your phone, and it's so simple to set up. No wires running behind anything. Anyone can do it. It could take 30 minutes to an hour tops if you're putting up multiple sensors around the house. It took me about 5 minutes. So that's like the maximum. And they have 24/7 home protection, an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. It's why The Verge calls SimpliSafe the best home security system. So I want you to try it out. Go to simplisafe.com/investing today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial of their service. You've got nothing to lose, no contracts or anything. You can try it now by going to simplisafe.com/investing. That's simplisafe.com/investing. When you get those two paid off, do you close those accounts or do you keep them open because now you have that additional credit line and it increases your buffer zone, or do you shut them down and cut them off?
You know, it's going to depend on the individual. One thing I always tell everyone is a credit report's like a thumbprint. Every thumbprint's different. What you need to realize is, from a discipline standpoint, I'll just flat out say it is in your best interest to keep it and keep it open. The question is, how disciplined are you to not use it?
Right.
Now, a lot of times, by the time I get somebody that puts that pen to paper, picks up the phone to call me to ask some questions or advice or hire me in some other capacity, I tell them, okay, now that you see and have had this problem and you're either dug your way out or halfway through or just beginning, you have that fear, you know, and that fear is, I just did some swiping and then I didn't realize how much I swiped and now it's too late. So most of the time people have been scared enough and they've dealt with that, I don't want to say tragedy, that financial tragedy maybe, of how much it damages them and their life and their day-to-day activities, that they're never going to get into that sort of problem ever again. So it's good to have because it will lower your score if you close it.
Yeah, I mean, keeping that open, but maybe just cutting up the card so you don't see it. You don't have access to that 3-digit code on the back anymore. You can't find it.
If you're the type that your discipline is rough, then yeah, cut up the card. Now, they'll send you a new one in 4 years. And even if something happened and you did need to utilize it or that temptation was there, you still have to make the phone call. It takes them a couple of days to ship you one out. So hopefully that buyer's remorse kicks in and then you get it, maybe cut it up again.
Right. All right. So putting pen to paper is one great tip, and then started going after that smaller balance to really start to see that progress. What other tips do you have for someone who's just getting started to try to claw themselves out of this?
One thing that I always want to point out, if you're in a position where you have to let the card go, every state is going to be different, but most credit repair companies do not tell anyone this. And this is the first thing I always tell everyone. That lender, at least let's say in the state of Texas, the state of California, most states typically have a 4-year time frame. Wisconsin is horrible with 10 years. Louisiana is horrible with 10 years. If you go delinquent on a debt, that lender has got, in the case of Wisconsin, Louisiana, 10 years where they could file a lawsuit against you. And then that becomes a lien, and then you can't buy any real property, and then some states can wage garnish. You have those kind of issues. In Texas and California, it's 4 years. So after the timeline, if that account is 4 years, in the case of the timeline that we're talking, 4 years in one day, all they can do is keep it on your credit, and that's it. They can't sue you anymore. There's no legal remedy for them to try to come after you. Anytime you have an account that's charged off, understand you can get a discount. Now, the ability of getting a really low discount, that's going to depend on the individual. I just had a customer that I got a 70% discount for their $36,000 Bank of America credit card. We got them settled for $11,000. I've had people that hired other companies before and they were able to get a 30% discount after all their fees. You know, so always understand that if your account's charged off, you don't have to pay full price. If you're in that sort of a situation, if you're ever trying to purchase something, especially let's say you want to get a car. Well, a car lender is going to care if you had a car repoed and didn't pay the balance. Mortgage for mortgage, credit cards for credit cards. So always understand that it's not what you do today, it's how lenders see you tomorrow. Now, I don't think I answered your question because I forgot it when I got off on a sidetrack, but that's just something you need to be aware of.
No, I think that's important, which is making sure that, look, there are options. If you get some scary letter in the mail, if you are finding out that, you know, look, they're coming after you, this third party company is now in possession of this debt and they're ringing your phone off the hook, you have options there. Now, if someone is calling you, I mean, we hear these horror stories about people calling you all the time and harassing you. What are the laws? I mean, I know like in Europe now under the GDPR laws, like people, they cannot call you after a certain time of day. They can't record your phone calls. They can't do all of these things. But what about in the United States? Where are we at with that?
In the United States, any collection, here's where it gets a little tricky. The collection companies can call you, or they can't call you before 8 a.m. and they can't call you after 9 o'clock at night. If it's the original creditor, you're letting the credit card go for whatever reason, and it's 90 days late or 60 days late, they can call you 4 or 5 times a day. They don't, they're the original creditor, so they don't have to deal with the Fair Debt Collection Practice Act. The people that are calling you, even if it's from a law firm, that's one of the bigger things that's out there is like, oh, well, I just got a phone call from the law firm of so-and-so. Understand, they're a debt collector. And the people calling you, they're not attorneys. They are the non-attorney debt collector, which have about as much stroke as I do calling up the credit bureaus, telling them to fix something that's accurate. So they don't have any power. If they ever call and threaten you with a lawsuit, they can't do that. Because that person doing it does not have the ability to file that lawsuit. A lot of times I've seen in letters where they say, at this point, it has not been reviewed by an attorney, and that's from a law firm attorney, which means they're a debt collector. They have to operate as a debt collector, so they follow all the rules. But when you see law firm, most people just freak out for obvious reasons. But again, like you had said before, anytime anything happens, you always have options. You just, if you don't know your options, yeah, you don't have any options.
Where do you see overall American consumer debt going? I mean, we can wrap this up with those questions. You know, are you seeing more favorable conditions now for Americans? Less debt, more debt, troubling horizon, or are we getting better here?
I see more problems because you have more debt buyers. When an account gets charged off, that account can either be now sued or can be sold to a debt buyer. The definition of charge-off is 180 days of no payment. If you've ever heard that anything negative can stay on your credit for 7 years, that's from that charge-off date. Okay. I've seen these companies are selling it to debt buyers, and the three big ones is Portfolio Recoveries, Midland Funding, and there's Cavalry Portfolio is a really big one. But those three... Portfolio is probably the big boy. I've seen them buy an account for 2 cents on the dollar, turn around and sue for the full amount the next day. They're willing to settle, of course, but I've seen more lawsuits in the last year than probably the last 4 or 5 years.
Wow. And what recourse do people have in that situation? I mean, like what you talked about, just negotiating with them. If someone, first of all, know your rights, know what your state's rights are. Let's say you're in the state of New Jersey, for instance, like, or, you know, figuring out, first of all, what is the statute of limitations on that, right?
And yeah. And the first thing you can do, go to Google or DuckDuckGo or any one of those other ones and type in debt statute of limitations for whatever your state is. And you'll be able to come up, there'll be a list that'll show you here's what your state is. And you just have to remember that, hey, if that's over that timeline, then you may have what's called a zombie debt collector, which is somebody that gets your account for practically nothing, tries to scare the heck out of you to be able to get paid in some capacity.
Yeah. And that's their game, right? They're just like, they're buying this debt from Bank of America or whomever who doesn't want to waste the time on it because they're just writing it off now. It's a write-off for them, right? It's a loss. And now this other company stepping in and buying that $50,000 debt for what? $2,000?
Probably 500.
Wow.
And then now they have the rights to the full 50,000. And if they take you to court, they really have a good case because most people aren't going to fight it. Most people are not going to show up to court, or it's what's called a default judgment. No one's going to fight it because they know they owe the money. And there are a lot of times, like when you get sued, there's lawyers out there, and I kind of call them bottom feeders. And if you're one listening, I'm sorry. But once they see that there's a public filing of a lawsuit, they automatically send a solicitation letter saying, hey, you've been sued. You can hire us to help you fight it. Well, they're not fighting it. All they're going to do is negotiate the settlement.
Right.
Which is what you can kind of do your own. Now, they may be able to get you a little bit better because they probably have done this before, but you just have to weigh the options. Is paying this much worth this? Or why don't I call first? And you never know. But they're always willing to settle. That's up to the day you're going to court. They're always willing to settle. That's what you need to understand. It's just how much of a savings can you really get?
Right. Well, awesome stuff, Wayne. Where can people get a hold of you? I don't want your phones to go crazy and ring off the hook, but maybe you do. If people want to get their credit repaired, get some advice on credit repair, or you know, at least moving in the right direction, how can people get a hold of you?
Sure. My website and the legal name of our company is Credit Bureau Investigations, but the marketing name that we use is Wayne the Credit Guy. So you can go to WayneTheCreditGuy.com and you can either shoot me an email. My email address is Wayne@WayneTheCreditGuy.com. Our contact information is there. You can shoot us an email, give me an idea of what your situation is, give me a day or two to get back to you. If it's important enough where I think we need to talk, I'll say, look, we need to talk for 2 minutes.
Wonderful. Wayne is always highly responsive. So if anyone out there has this issue, wants some help, absolutely reach out to Wayne. We will make sure we have links and everything that we talked about today in the show notes. So if you're driving right now, don't worry about it. We'll have links right inside your podcast player or here in the YouTube video if you want to check that out as well. Wayne, great to see you, my friend. Good catching up, and let's not be strangers, and we'll have you back soon enough.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. We really appreciate it. We'll be back here with another episode of the Investing in Real Estate show soon enough. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. Don't let bad credit get in your way for building wealth. There are solutions, as Wayne points out. We'll see you next time, everyone.